Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 113 of season 3 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1988 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Mark Hoffmeyer of the Con Air Pod and the Deep Blue Sea Pod and Movies, Films, and Flicks. Welcome back, Mark.
Yeah, in honor of this episode, I went to the nearest skyscraper, and now I'm in the bowels of it, and just surrounded by concrete, getting in the mode of it. I just wanted to feel like I am inside a skyscraper. I took my shoes off. I'm wearing a tank top. I grew out my hair. It's great. I'm sitting on top of a transformer. I just want everyone to know that I take this show seriously.
So here well, I am. After all your posturing and your little speeches, you know, you're nothing but
look.
You're nothing but a common thief.
No, I'm a very good thief. No,
I'm that exceptional, looks at exceptional, exceptional.
Have you seen the movie Green Room?
Yes.
With Patrick Stewart? And yes. I love that moment.
And Chekhov, right?
Yeah, Chekhov, Anton Yelchin.
Anton Yelchin.
Imogen right. Poots. It's so good. But there's a scene at the end when Anton Yelchin looks at Patrick Stewart and he's like, you were so much scarier at night because, you know, he heard him behind the door and he was this presence. And then when he saw him in the daylight, he's like, oh, okay. So this look that Bonnie's giving him, or Holly is giving him, Holly, it's the holidays, but you have she just has disdain. She went from fear to almost somewhat respect. And then in this scene, she's like, you're just a punk. Like
Yes.
Hey, the pop filter. Remember what we talked about that in the first episode? Mm-hmm. I just first week, I just did my thing. Probably pop the like. I think it popped. It. What's the word? It absorbed some of the pop, so it came back. Like in our third episode, from what we talked about from the first one. But it just reminded me of Green Room. Her look at Gruber. It's so good. She's just like such good framing. Just, I love this movie. I don't care. It's so good. But yeah, Green Room's great too. Just letting y'all know.
So episode 113 begins with Hans trying to contact John and ends with Hans defending his profession. Okay, so everything ended yesterday with Hans, you know, declaring to Theo and Eddie and Christoph that you know, they have a new ace in the hole. They have Holly, you know, a policeman's wife, you know, as
yeah.
But
the policeman's wife.
So at this point, he takes the CB or the walkie-talkie and still has his hand in the pocket from yesterday and says, McLean, I have some news for you, McLean. So I love the fact that things are just calm here. You know, he's mm-hmm. he's brought Holly into the vault, thrown her onto the floor, but he still remains calm the whole time. Mm-hmm. You know, and. In his mind, everything is calm right now. Uli is upstairs, you know, taking care of all the various hostages. He knows that John is somewhere around there, and that that Carl is hunting him down. But that's all he knows. You know, but things are calm here in the vault, and he seems a bit shocked. You know, that John finally isn't answering him. You know, they've been talking through these walkie talkies for the entire movie. And at this point, he keeps saying, John, where are you? You know, like finally he wants to say something. The whole time he doesn't want to talk to John. Now he finally wants to talk to him and John can't answer.
That'd be funny if John said, new phone, who dis? But yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, they're just chatting back and forth and he finally has one up on him. It's a great deflating moment for Gruber. You know, he's seen like such an immortal kind of suave, in control guy, and here McLean's not responding to him and Holly's just giving him crap. I kind of like that about it. That's a good villain. And I think a lot of movies that sort of ripped off this type of villain, and I'm not saying Gruber's the first. I mean, watch Bond movies. There were super villains before Gruber, very suave villains. But you look at the movies that follow this, and a lot of the villains, I don't think they ever look bad or look weak. Like, I like that this time they look at Gruber and she gives him the crap. And I think it's kind of a selfless thing for Alan Rickman, too. Like, he's not overly stylized. He's not just I like that they're not afraid to make fun of Gruber in this situation. And then right. he gets a great retort back, and you're like, oh, I like this a lot. But when he's shuffling for the money, oh, we'll get to it. I'll let you we'll talk. Right. We'll. All right, I'll let so you then keep going.
We only get to see Hans for 5 seconds at the beginning, and then, you know, we're back to the brawl between John and Carl. You know, John then kicks Carl while he's on the floor, and, you know, Carl actually goes flying. He, like, really, really moves very far when he hits him.
Yeah.
And
it's a powerful kick.
Yeah. But unfortunately, John kicked him in the wrong place because, you know, now Carl is closer to the gun. So we see that we see a hand reaching out for the gun. And then we hear that it's being cocked. And then we see a shot of John who's looking very worried. And, you know, then we see that it's actually Carl who's holding the gun. And he lifts up his arm and he aims it. And he shoots once. And at that time, the shot changes and we see John running to try and leave the room as the shot rings out, and then we hear him groan. You know, which we assume it means he got shot. You know, we don't really, you don't see any blood come out or anything like that. But you know, by his but what's funny is that if you look at the if you look you before the blood, he starts running, once again before he starts running, if you look at second 10, okay, look at second 10, you know. Doesn't it look like John has already been shot?
Yeah, he looks pretty beat up.
No, but he has blood on, I guess you can say the on his rotator cuff on the back, you know, which is apparently like the area that he gets shot in a few seconds from now.
He gets shot on the opposing shoulder. So that left shoulder has blood, and then he runs and gets shot on the right, and then it's
oh, that's
on the
right,
door.
That's right. Oh, right, right. Okay. Right. There is blood that sprays on the door. Right.
I love these little videos that you send me. They're so easy. You send out minute clips, and they make it very easy to watch while we're talking about here. This is wonderful. But yeah, yes. So I mean, yeah, we almost got some continuity. There's a lot of smoke going on in this scene, though. I understand that skyscrapers produce a lot of, you know, billowing smoke. And there's a lot of barrels here too. You know, you watched the documentary about this. I love that when they were like, oh, there's a furniture dolly, we'll use it. Oh, there's chains, we'll use it. Oh, there's a stairwell, exactly. We'll use it. Like, that's a great location scout.
What's even cooler is if you watch throughout the movie, at the, you know, towards the beginning, you see people pass the chains. You see people pass the barrels. I mean, they're there the whole time. You know, there's a whole idea of Chekhov's gun. You know, you have Chekhov's chain, you have Chekhov's barrels, Chekhov's pipes. You know, everything. Mm-hmm. The way that they use these locations where you can see things that are going to be used, you know, an hour from now or an hour and a half from now, it's just great. You know, especially when you know the movie.
You know, when people talk about they want to blow up the three-act structure and I want to revolutionize film, I don't think that's always necessary. I think you just got to establish a landscape, make it – like, look at Mad Max Fury Road. They drive away and then they drive back. Like, it's not right. – you're not changing the world. It's a very simple plot structure, but then that allows – when you don't have so many twists and turns – because they're literally driving in a straight line in that movie, you are able to focus on characters more and have beats and create this stuff. And I think that's what Die Hard does. It's such a simple structure that you're allowed to have Chekhov's chains, Chekhov's furniture dolly, all of that kind of stuff. You know, Chekhov's photo frame, Chekhov's everything.
Yeah, so, exactly.
It's just look at Predator 2, another McTiernan joint, where it's a predator, it's a large Yautja attacking beefy men. Like, that's not a hard plot. Like, that's an easy plot. But you're able to create lasting characters in that. A lot of people don't learn lessons from these types of films. Like, The Raid, they're trying to fight to the top. Mad Max Fury Road, they go back and forth. Like, sometimes convoluted action films I love, but I don't think they ever are the classics. Is there a convoluted action movie that you would say is an all-timer, like a Die Hard?
Nope, just Die Hard.
Right? I don't know. I know I just dropped that on you, and I'm thinking out loud.
I can't think of anything. There's nothing that jumps out at me that's like, wow, this is such a great action movie, you know, that's not Die Hard. You know, that's what it comes down to.
Like, even Aliens, people go to a place and they get stranded. and then they have to leave because they're attacked by aliens. Like, it's not, the plot is not intense. It's just the character work. I mean, Cameron's the pro at that anyway.
Right.
But I mean, well, True Lies, that's, I don't speed. They're on a bus. True Lies gets convoluted. But I never hear about True Lies being in the, like, all-timer equation.
No. It's because like, it's you know, that I think part of that is because True Lies toes the line between being an action movie and a comedy.
Yeah. Yeah,
because they put Tom Arnold in there, you know, and he's being shot at and he stands behind a little pole, you know, and doesn't get hit, and then, you know, checks himself to make sure he didn't get hit. You know, it's like little things like that, which makes it a fun movie, but it doesn't make it an all-time great movie.
Do you think Die Hard is a high concept movie? Because it's just a cop gets stranded in a building with terrorists. So that's a high concept. But like True Lies,
it's 30 stories high.
Yeah, 30 stories high. Like, the poster explains that True Lies is not a high concept movie because it's a guy, but then she fakes on his wife, but then she gets involved, and then there's this, and then there's that, and it's good. But I don't know, maybe the most successful action films of all time have just been high concept. You can put what it is on the poster, and
right.
That's a question for another podcast.
Yeah, apparently.
The high concept.
We'll have to think about that one. So how many shots did you count? How many shots ring out during this scene?
We shot the door 4 times, correct?
Correct. There are 7 shots that were fired at John, and then we see 4 of them on the door.
So, oh, wow. So
you know, besides you know, the one that hits him in the shoulder and splashes all that blood across the door, I guess you can say, or the doorway as he's walking there. And then the shot changes and we're back with Uli, you know, climbing up to the roof with the hostages. Now he's in between the hostages, which isn't a very safe place to be.
No. You know, if you... no. If I was in the back of that line,
you just pull him, and
I would run downstairs.
Or you pull him and you know, throw him down the stairs.
Yeah, it's not – I understand the framing of it and why it works. But – and I don't think anybody would have gotten the upper hand on Uli because he's a beast. But
right.
Yeah, that was – I could have sworn the entire time he was behind them all. I mean, that's where you want to be.
Well, that's where he was yesterday when we saw him.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. And then he ran up. That's odd. I would have stopped.
And he once again has the same dialogue as he did yesterday. Come on, move, come on. He's just hurting them. Yeah, I'm waiting for him to say yeehaw. You know, just
that's
like,
that's the dialogue you give stuntmen though. Just come on, go. Like, you don't have to act when you say go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuntmen don't want to act a lot of times. Just give them
lines. And I love the way that they just, you know, we only see him for a few seconds as he's coming up, and then he's like hurting people up, you know, grabbing them and pushing them forward. And then we go back to the fight between John and Carl. And Carl, like, bursts through the door. And I love how you see the blood on the door, you know, still dripping from John. And Carl just looks exhausted and really pissed off here. He's probably saying to himself, you know, I'm such an idiot. I should have just shot him at the beginning and that would have been it.
Now it's personal. Like, you should have shot him. But he is limping. I like the limp that
he has. Yes, and he staggers. You know, mm-hmm. showing that he's winded. You know, John has found a way to get the upper hand here.
That's why this movie works well. You have Carl limping. You have Uli eating Snickers. You have the other guy talking about football. You have, you know, and the crowd goes wild. All the
he doesn't eat Snickers. Little... He eats a Nestle bar,
Mars bar
and a Mars bar.
Yeah, and just watching, I don't know, the little things that they add to the characters. Makes it so worth it. But yeah, when he limps in here and he's tired.
Yeah.
I love this. He's bleeding.
If this was Lethal Weapon, he would just say, I'm too old for this.
Yeah. And then Mel Gibson would use some jujitsu.
Exactly.
That's one of the first movies to use jujitsu.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. And he just looked really pissed as he's walking past all of these, you know, switches and stuff like that. And I love the way that we can see John's foot.
Yeah.
You know, it gives us a little bit of a hint as to what's going to happen. I mean, it's only for like a second or two, but we still get the hint. And then as he's walking by, now Carl is pretty stupid that he doesn't look to the side to see if anyone's there. That's a separate problem. Okay. And as he's walking by, you know, John just kicks him in the face. Now that barefoot kick is done really well because it just, he hits him right on the jaw, you know, and then, you know, Carl goes flying and he lands on some empty boxes that are on some sort of trolley. And you can see that they're empty boxes because they really deflate very quickly. And John jumps on them and the two of them are like brawling through the whole thing. And then John starts screaming at him, "Motherfucker, I'll kill you."
That sounds like a real fight, though. People swearing at each other. It's ugly. It's gross. Also, boxes are really used on film sets. I remember I had to help build like a box pyramid one time for stuntmen to fall on. You just make a bunch of boxes and they fall on them. It's nuts.
Right.
So those boxes did some good lifting on that cart. Just using what they have. But yeah, that kick is a lot of fun. And I
also love the way the two of them are just like punching each other as they're on top of each other like that.
And there's a dislike. You know, these guys hate each other.
Yes. Definitely.
You know how deflating it is to be like a world class martial artist, terrorist, robber, and you're taken to the limit by a smarmy New York cop? You're just like, there's a
who
deflation.
Killed your brother?
Yeah, exactly. There's a deflation that comes with that. You know, one of my favorite MMA fighters to watch is Nate Diaz, and in a lot of his fights, he's not as muscular, he's not as lean, he doesn't have the physique. But you just can't knock him out. And then if you do a 5-round fight, he's still there in the 5th round wearing you down. Like, that seems like John McClane. He's not the biggest. He's not the brawniest. Yeah. But – and you, if you looked at the two, you would figure out who the winner is. But he's still there. That's so deflating. And I love that about this fight.
It's true.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And as then the shot changes, and they do a great transition shot here because we see the two of them on the box. And then it switches and we see another kind of box and we see Theo's hands. You know, he's playing with, I assume, some sort of detonator, you know, and you see that he turns it on. And, you know, as they do in movies, it has to have like flashing lights and beeps and things like that, you know, so that we know that it's actually working. Because in real life, you know, things do work without flashing lights and beeps. But in movies, they need to have that, you know, done that way.
And Huey Lewis is doing some good bag work in the background, if you've noticed.
Yes, of course. And and then Theo, you know, says to Hans, "It's armed." And then he goes, "The truck." And the Hans truck. Responds, "The truck."
I like his look here too, Gruber. He's just looking kind of manic right now. And that has to be deflating. You're this larger than life, scarier guy, but then you're just lounging on the ground on your hands and knees, putting money into a bag. Like, that really does take a lot of that out of you. But I do love Huey Lewis in the background, patting the bags all nicely. I don't know if you see that in the background.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, it makes me happy. Look at he just needed something to do for that scene, and he's owning it. He's pulling the Steve McQueen of acting over here.
Yeah, and Holly's just sitting there, you know, with nothing else to do.
Hey, so we're about to get to a great quote. So I went ahead and I pulled together some of my favorite movie thieves to do a squad in a movie I would love to see.
Ooh, cool.
You want to hear who I have?
Sure.
All right, so it's a very driving heavy cast because you know how much I love the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yes.
So I'm going to take Brian and Dom. No, Brian and Roman from Too Fast, Too Furious, Tyrese and Paul Walker. So Brian and Roman. Then I'm going to take Melly Logan from Logan Lucky, played by Riley Keough, because I love Logan Lucky. It's a great thieving movie. Steven Soderbergh directed it. Hasn't gotten enough. Not enough eyes are on it. Needs to be watched. So I have Riley Keough. I have Tyrese and I have Paul Walker. Then from Baby Driver, I took Darlene, played by Isa Gonzalez. So I have
Melly
Sport. And then I have, so get this, you're going to like this, Linda from Widows, played by Michelle Rodriguez. But I'm not picking her Fast character. I'm picking her Widows character. I almost went for Cynthia Erivo because she's so fast and she runs marathons and she's a monster in that movie. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to take Michelle Rodriguez, but not from Fast and Furious. I'm going to take her from Widows. So I have Brian, Roman, Melly, Darling, and Linda as my thieving crew. Good drivers. kind of maniacs. They go to space.
They go to space.
Beast. Well, had it. Beast. Roman's in space in Fast 9.
Right.
So, okay, I just put together, that's my thieving crew. They rob places and I like them. I think it would make for an interesting movie because of all their, like Melly's super chill. Brian and Roman are just best buds. But Brian's super chill. Roman's just talking all the time. Darlene's just a maniac. And then you have Linda, who's super chill. So you have some really different vibes going on.
Oh, wow.
With actors I like. So that's my okay. that's my excellent thieving crew. I just had to do it real quick.
All right, that's fair. That sounds good. Great. Mm-hmm. And at this point, Theo leaves the room. And we see, as you mentioned, Eddie is standing in the back counting bonds or whatever he's doing. And then Holly looks up, and as we said, this is a great line for the movie. She says, after all your posturing, all your little speeches, you're nothing but a common thief. And first of all, Hans's reaction is amazing because he's always calm, but once she makes this comment to him, he loses it. And he turns around, and as he's turning, he's like on his knees. He turns and flips a bag filled with bonds to Eddie, and then moves very close to her. And he doesn't really lose his balance while he's doing this also. And then he turns to her and says, I'm an exceptional thief, Mrs. McLean. And we're going to have to wait until tomorrow to find out what exactly he says after that, because that is part of this great quote. But what can he do?
That's the brilliance of this movie, because you make him look a little silly, but then he immediately comes back with a beautiful retort. And he could have crawled silly, but he doesn't. It's an intimidating, very well-coordinated crawl.
He jump crawls.
Yeah, and it's a good-looking crawl. It's a threatening crawl, and it's a wonderful comeback. So you establish him as weak, but then he comes back to you almost immediately, which is just good storytelling where, yes, he's on the ground shuffling money around, but he'll get in your face and come back with a really good comeback.
Yeah.
And it's lovely. Completely. Griffin is on fire. Oh, my gosh. Ugh. Too good. Hans Gruber. Oh, my gosh. I love that scene.
Ugh. Yeah. He's definitely great there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have anything else you want to say before we get into the script?
No, let's hear it. Let's hear the script.
All right. So the script, again, a few minor things. First of all, after Hans calls out for McLean, so it says, tilt up from the CB radio, Carl smashed. We see Carl and McLean in the background, almost toe-to-toe, all their tricks played out, going at it with animal instincts.
Ooh.
Okay. And then,
I would like to hear them both like Joe Pesci from Home Alone going, frizzin' fracka, fricka, 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 fricka. Just rolling on the ground. I wonder if that's in the TV cut.
Maybe. And then Hans continues to say McLean, and then he pauses, changes the channel on the CB, and then says, Carl, Carl. And he still gets no response. He looks at Theo and says to Theo, hurry. And then they have Uli, and then they actually have a description about the helicopters, which actually happens tomorrow. And then it comes back to them in the vault, and it says, Theo closes the lid of the bond stuff case, carries it out of the room. Holly's eyes follow his exit while the others continue. And then Holly says to Hans scornfully, after all your posturing, all your speeches, you're nothing but a common thief. And then he gives the same response that we already know. I'm an exceptional thief, Mrs. McLean. And, so a few minor changes there, nothing major. I don't think they missed anything on this one. I think it was a good, they did a good cut of things to give us what we ended up getting here.
And he could have overplayed that I'm an exceptional thief, but he does it perfectly. I could see so many people messing that up. But not
Hans Gruber.
Nah. Definitely not. Yeah. I love this movie.
All right. So every Wednesday we have a segment called Hans Hump Day, where my guests will give their top five Alan Rickman performances. Excuse me. So, it, you know, you could hate the movie, but you just have to love his performance. So what have you got for us, Mark?
I mean, you know me, I normally like to do kind of funky lists, but this one's really hard. I just couldn't do a funky list for this one because, I mean, it's got to be for me Die Hard and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Sheriff of Nottingham and Hans Gruber. Yes, I
know. Wait, as number one and two, you're saying?
Yeah. So
but you got five here. So you're saying Die Hard is up there?
I'm working my way from five.
Yeah, you should work your way from five.
Okay, so I'm going to pick, what, the Metatron from Dogma from 99? Okay. And the reason for that is I was a big Kevin Smith guy. I really was. Clerks kind of – when I was 12, I watched Clerks. I loved how he maxed his credit cards. Mallrats I thought was wonderful. And so hearing that – Kevin's Chasing Amy I thought was really good too, but hearing that Alan Rickman was going to be in a Kevin Smith movie when I was 17, I remember hearing that and going, all right, like that's interesting. But just watching Rickman in Kevin Smith's world and watching him absorb that dialogue, deliver that dialogue, and just all around crush it. He's just wonderful. There's a sense of humor there. He's still quite menacing, but he fits into Kevin Smith's world wonderfully. And so I'm going to take that just because, you know, 99 was a huge year for me. You know how much I love Deep Blue Sea. And actually, also that actually leads into my number four, which is Galaxy Quest, Alexander Dane, because watching the comedic side of him, watching him put the makeup on, watching him, his makeup frazzle, watching his, you know, I love the documentary about Galaxy Quest too, by the way, where did you hear about the quote where Tim Allen acted for like the first time in his life and he got emotional on scene and he cried and he was feeling it. And Alan Rickman, I guess, told some of the castmates, like, yes, that's acting. Like, he just burned Tim Allen. But he's just so good in that movie. The you know, I work comic conventions. I did over 50 shows. And so you see a lot of that type of actor who there's sort of bitter, super smart, educated and you know, Shakespeare. But he's just perfect. He's perfect in that movie. And just, I mean, what a cast. What a cast in that movie. So, yeah, those are my four and five. This one, I remember, you know, in 95, I remember watching Sense and Sensibility with him in it. And it's a small role, but it's more sensitive. He does some great reading from books. Like his relationship with Kate Winslet, he teamed up with her later on. But I'm going to do that. I mean, that's just the Best Picture nominee. It was a super hot movie. I know other actors came from it. But watching that movie in 95, I was only familiar with him as a villain. And so watching that movie, I was like, this is a stuffy movie. Argh. But I watched it. Well, actually, I don't know if I said that. Because I was watching all those movies, like Remains of the Day. I don't know. But I remember watching it and just thinking, this is odd. It was an odd sensation watching Alan Rickman be – just watching him and Winslet together and just – yeah. So that's my number three. You know what? I'm going to put Hans Gruber as number two.
Ooh.
Because he's great in it. But in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, he's like a rock star. Like, you, my quarters, hey, bring a friend. You know, I will what? Rip, tear your heart out. I will dig your heart out with a spoon. And just his acting is just, his hand is so hot in that movie. Like, his performance is just over the top. He kind of loses it a little bit. It's just pure gold. Now, I haven't seen Quigley Down Under. I'm going to be doing a Movie Stones of Flicks episode about it soon. So, you know, my list might change. But growing up, watching his performance, you bring a friend. Like, it's just, he's in another movie. And he just steals the movie. Like, in Die Hard, he's great, right? But I don't think everyone steals the movie in Die Hard. In Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, he just owns it. He owns every frame he's in. So that's why I'm giving it number one.
Okay. That's fair.
It's boring. It's boring. All right. I hate being boring, but yeah.
It's not a question of being boring. It's fine. You are allowed. Mark, this is your list.
True.
There's no right or wrong answer.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. But a lot of people are going to be mad that I didn't say Die Hard. I like him in Harry Potter movies, but he's not in it enough. So I didn't put him in there. Yeah, so that's it.
Okay. That is completely fair. All right. So you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with Mark Hoffmeier.
Movies, Films, and Flicks. Movies, Films, and FLX. You can check it out pretty much anywhere. Just type it in. Any social media channel. And then Deep Blue Sea, the podcast. Con Air, the podcast. You can do the same on all those. Yeah, that's it.
All right. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcast you might be using to listen to the show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Drop Minute. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook, or you can go directly to my website, movierobminute.com. So, until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!